Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
New York City's Democratic Mayor Bill de Blasio making yet more police reform moves. After another day of massive police brutality protests in New York City, most of which did stay peaceful. One of the demands the protesters have been calling for is something that de Blasio is now promising.
We will be moving funding from the NYPD to youth initiatives and social services.
Meanwhile, once a hot spot for the virus, New York City is entering phase one reopening today that could see as many as 400,000 people heading back to their jobs. Former Vice President Joe Biden is gaining steam in the polls. In a new CNN survey out this morning, it shows the presumed Democratic nominee leading President Trump by 14 points. And this is USA Radio News.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Confederate statues in Virginia are coming down. The General Williams Carter Wickham statue was ripped down on Saturday evening, and Democratic Governor Ralph Northam says the Robert E. Lee Monument is going to be next.
That statue has been there for a long time, but it was wrong then, and it is wrong now.
A new NBC News Wall Street Journal poll just out this morning finds that 80% of Americans surveyed feel that things are out of control in America. An overwhelming number of Democrats agree at 92%. 78% of independents said it's out of control. 66% of Republicans say things are out of control in the country as well. Indy 500 race owners say if fans are allowed to attend, the Indy 500 will happen on August 23rd. If not, it'll happen in October. And this is USA Radio News.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@gcnlive.com.
Railway officials are investigating a train wreck in southeast Georgia. Seven cars of a CSX train derailed over the weekend, and hazmat crews had to be called out to clean up hydrogen peroxide that spilled from two of those cars. Around 100 residents from 30 homes in the nearby area were evacuated until the scene was secure. There's no word yet on what caused the crash, but no injuries were reported. If you live in the West and you've recently ordered something from Amazon, get ready. It could take a while longer than expected to get your package. Here's more from USA Radio's Wendy King.
A large fire has destroyed a 600,000-square-foot Amazon distribution center in Southern California. The fire broke out early Friday while 100 people were working inside the warehouse in the Redlands. A city spokesman said all of the people got out of the building safely. The large blaze caused officials to temporarily shut down nearby Interstate 10. Firefighters brought the blaze under control, but they expect the building to smolder for days. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
And there's a report that Elmer Fudd will no longer be seen carrying a gun in the new Looney Tunes cartoon show. The Warner Brothers animation series debuted on HBO Max on May 27th. They say that it's a response to a concern about U.S. gun violence. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Over the years, there have been so many people who have suffered from not having life insurance. It's not that they didn't care about protecting their loved ones. It's just that they didn't know why it's so important. If you died, how would your family pay the bills, the mortgage, let alone plan for a better future? This is what life insurance is all about. Providing for your family, even after you're gone. And level term coverage is the best option. It's not expensive and it's not complicated. You need 10 to 12 times your income in life insurance protection. And you need to call ReliaQuote. They represent 15 of the top life insurance providers, and their agents are experts at helping you find the right policy for your needs. Protect your family. Give ReliaQuote a call for a free, no-hassle quote now. 800-478-0793. 800-478-0793. 800-478-0793. That's 800-478-0793.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Welcome back, America. 6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. And right away, we're going to bring him up because we've got lots to talk about with John Stossel, the author of Give Me a Break, How I Exposed Hucksters, Cheats, and Scam Artists and Became the Scourge of the Liberal Media, founder and proprietor of Stossel TV as well. John, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Good to be here, Bill.
Hey, John, I've been bragging on you, it seems, for decades here because of a story that you did years ago about two Indian reservations. And the reason I bring this up right off the bat is because what you shared with us back then is consistent and very appropriate to, you know, America in the 21st century that we're living with. You know, entitlements have absolutely destroyed the underpinning of liberty and the freedom of people. But in your documentary, you utilized the story of two Indian reservations, and there's nothing new under the sun. I mean, we're still dealing with the same thing, you know, as evidenced on the streets of America the past couple of weeks.
Totally. And to be clear, it wasn't two reservations. It was one reservation and across the street, Indians who owned their own private property. The welfare state has destroyed not just freedom, but initiative and prosperity.
Mm-hmm.
When government takes care of people, it destroys people. No group's been more taken care of by government than after we killed them and took their property, but then took care of them as the Indians. And mm-hmm. no group in America does worse today.
And how has that worked out? I mean, as you cited there, people accepted, I think it was like $80 billion of government aid, and you went into their residence. It was a hellhole. Unemployment, double digit back then even. Alcoholism, marriage, breakups. I mean, the family units were in disarray. I mean, it was a mess. Homes were a total shambles. Whereas in the other area that said, no, we'll exercise self-responsibility. I mean, it was like you walked into a planned community, single digit unemployment, no really huge alcoholism or addiction to speak of. It was a thriving community. And so the clear difference is you've got, one group that accepted government entitlement and in a sense have been enslaved and hampered and reduced to their lowest common denominator, and others have said, no, we'll do it. We'll do it on our own, and they're thriving. And we can't put that together as empirical evidence and have it stand up against the other examples.
We ought to, unless people say, well, there's something different about American Indians. Mm-hmm. You say this, you see the same thing with the welfare state. When I graduated from college, my professors had me convinced that, you know, it's true. In a rich country, it's outrageous. Some people are poor. All we need is welfare and programs, and we can make all poor people prosperous. And we created well-intended programs meant to help people. And you look at the poverty line after the war on poverty began, and it dropped sharply for 7 years. But then progress stopped because we taught people learned helplessness. We taught people to be dependent. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the poverty line from before the war on poverty, that's even more shocking because you see that people were lifting themselves out of poverty without government help for years. And what the war on poverty did was speed progress for 7 years and then stop it.
And when you thought about it, you know, when you read back on what was going on with this attack on the war on poverty, LBJ's motivation for it was to garner votes from the black community, as he said in his own inimitable words. I'm not going to use his exact language, but that he would have blacks voting, you know, if the Southern Democrats went with this, blacks would be voting for them for the next 100 years.
But I think the politicians also wanted to and believed they were helping people.
Well, but look what happened, though, John, is that according to Robert Woodson, author and former campaign advisor to President George W. Bush, he says that of this, you know, war on poverty and all this money, I mean, we've spent, I don't know, $25, $30 trillion since 1964 on the war on poverty. 70% has gone to blacks who administer it, not to the blacks that need it.
Really? I didn't know that. That seems high.
That's an astounding number.
I like Woodson took it. Seems high.
Yeah, but you know, I'm sitting there going, you know, and this is part of the challenge that we're having in this conversation right now because, you know, what Black Lives Matter, Antifa, all these other in the movement that's going on right now, it is no question, it's raising the conversation. And my prayer, John, I got to tell you, is that reason will reign, that we will be able to look at things because what happens, and Dana Perino brought this out last week, says that Republicans come to an argument or come to a debate with their spreadsheets. They've got facts out there and the whole deal. And then you got liberals that come with their passion. And we've got to find a way in the middle to take the empirical evidence. I mean, we wanted to take the empirical evidence for COVID-19. We shut down our economy and everything based on the science and all these liberals. Oh, you got to believe the science. You got to believe the science. And, you know, here we are. But now how it relates to, you know, to racism, I think is another issue. It's going to be a challenge because for so long we have been invalidating people and we don't really want to listen and hear the other side. But if we're going to get on the other side of this, we need to find a way to come together and listen to what the other is saying. Right.
Right.
So what do you say? What do you think?
Well, I'm lost. Think about which thing.
Well, I'm talking about, you know,
well,
in the
race or riots or there's so much going on.
Mm-hmm. Well, the riots are an expression of frustration, and it now has become, I think, a bit of a, you know, we go back and we got to be careful not to embrace these false narratives like what happened with the Trayvon Martin hoax and like Benjamin Crump. Benjamin Crump is the attorney for, you know, for George Floyd and for his family. And how he's still an attorney is beyond me because what he did in terms of misrepresenting and changing out a false witness in the Trayvon Martin case is astounding to me. I mean, he is an officer of the court and has lied to the court. I mean, it's almost as bad as these, if not worse, than, you know, these FISA applications that have been perpetrated on the court by people that are supposed to be responsible.
Well, I don't know about that, but I do know from my times where I dressed as a police officer for 2020 for
stories. Yes.
That it changes you. that to walk around in a police uniform and see how people responded to me, it made me feel powerful and strong and important. And if I were a sadist, if I were a petty bully, I would do bad things with that. And of course, most cops aren't. Let's say 99%.
John, we got to go to break. I want to pick it up from there when we come back. More from John.
The letters IRS give you anxiety. I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
This is a pandemic survival alert and the most time-sensitive messages you will hear this year. You still have time to plant a one-acre crisis garden and secure a supply of your own nutrient-dense food. But time is running out, and it's one deadline you don't want to miss. Who should plant a crisis garden? Individuals, families, churches, communities, anyone or any group that sees hard times ahead. Let's face it, even the mainline media is talking about food supply disruptions and the growing number of grocery store workers who are becoming sick. But there's more. Meatpacking plants are closing. Mile-long lines at food pantries, and more farmers now in financial trouble. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables this summer may be the single most important thing you do. Go to survivalseedbank.com and watch the new video to understand what we're really up against. Get free bonus seeds, special quarantine reports, too. Don't wait. Every minute counts. Go to survivalseedbank.com. That's survivalseedbank.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Recover Now is a national campaign aimed at the education and awareness of the devastating effects of opioid and heroin abuse and curbing drug and alcohol addiction in the United States. Recover Now is sponsored by treatment facilities nationwide. Many of them have been where you are, and they want to help by spreading a message of hope and recovery. They're working hand in hand with major insurance companies nationwide that can help you or a loved one get clean in 7 to 30 days. Recover Now is embarking on a national outreach campaign on TV and radio to promote anti-addiction messages. So if you, a loved one, or someone you know has a problem with drugs or alcohol, do not wait. A new life for you could be 30 days away. Call us right now. I promise this call can change your life. Sponsored by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
800-493-4620. 800-493-4620. That's 800-493-4620.
Packages start at $39.99 a month with signed agreement. Restrictions apply. Speak to a representative for complete offer details. See Vivint.com for license details.
Homeowners, if you're looking for the best in home security and smart home technology at a price you can actually afford, we have great news. You can now get Vivint's award-winning smart home security systems starting at about a dollar a day. U.S. News and World Report has recognized Vivint as the top home security system of 2019, calling the Vivint system the best for a complete package of home security and automation, the best pro-installed home security system, and the best home security system with cameras. And right now, you can get Vivint's best home security and smart technology for about a dollar a day. Plus, get free professional installation. Protect your home and loved ones for as little as a dollar a day. Call right now for your home security consultation.
800-962-6082. 800-962-6082. That's 800-962-6082.
Bill Martinez, we have a country to save.
Freshen it up. Independent. We are good to have you with us. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, and our conversation with John Stossel continues. John, I want you to give our audience an update with Stossel TV and what you're doing in terms of where you are, you know, posting your videos, because like anything that doesn't go along with the woke society today, Google, Twitter, they're finding a way to shadow ban and limit our ability to get the message out to other, you know, conservative thinkers and speakers or other people who might even be interested in a conservative point of view.
And they're not totally banning me. I'm getting more viewers than I got on Fox. I gave up my Fox show because I became convinced that to reach young people, you had to go outside Fox or the networks, and through social media, I can do that. I release a video every Tuesday, and we get about 2 million views, which
wow.
is much more than my Fox show got. And for the record, I'm no conservative. I'm a libertarian.
Libertarian, yeah, I knew. Yeah, when I said conservative, I meant to make sure that I corrected, because I know that you're a libertarian. By the way, just as a side note, you talk about reaching young people. We have young people who are engineers at our mothership in Minneapolis. We're connected. I'm in Florida, and they've connected us. And so Jason there is one of your super fans. And I said, okay, well, maybe we'll get John to give you a radio autograph, and you know, because He really likes your work, and you have been a great encouragement to him, and that supports what you're talking about in terms of going after a younger audience.
Jason, you have really good judgment.
Yes. Well, good. You know he's gonna play that. In fact, it'll probably be on his iPhone now. When people call his phone, he's gonna capture that on there. So every Tuesday, and so how can people subscribe to Stossel TV?
You can find it if you just Google my name or go to YouTube and subscribe.
Yeah, just
or
like
Facebook,
that.
Or Twitter or Instagram. It's the new world.
Yeah.
Social media.
Exactly. Well, John, we mentioned before break your experiment of putting on a police uniform, a badge. Now, were you carrying a sidearm as well?
No. Thank
God.
One that I remember was the story in New Jersey. There were a bunch of people posing as fake cops and taking money from people, raping a couple women. To point out that anybody could buy the uniform and a fake badge on the internet, I did that. And what surprised me was how it affected me. And my point is just that, you know, even if 99% of police officers do the right thing, if just half of 1% are sadistic bullies, the power this gives them to do bad stuff is pretty terrible. And the police do have the legal right to take your freedom. And we got 100,000 cops in America. If just half of 1% is abusive, that's thousands of bad cops. So this protection where they never get prosecuted and where the unions keep them from being fired, that's wrong, and it needs to be gotten rid of.
Right. Well, that clearly is what's on display here with Derek Chauvin. I mean, he's been written up, what, something like 17 times for abuse, and he lived another day. And like you said, this is because of, you know, Democratic-run states, it seems to be, and cities that have allowed for the police unions to protect these people to such a degree. I mean, here it is. I mean, even in our own government, what was it, 2 years ago, the president had to finally, you know, make sure that we codified a law to where we could fire people that were abusing, you know, our military veterans in the VA. I mean, John, I've never had a job like that where I was so covered that I could be a knucklehead and still have a job and, you know, get retirement and that sort of thing. I mean, that's what I think most Americans live under. But some of these, you know, specialized protective union jobs that allow, you know, and accommodate for incompetence. I mean, this is absurd, and this is what frustrates Americans.
All true. But that 17 15 complaints is a good example of shallow media and the way we report things, because while it's true he had 17 or 18 complaints, and that's more than average. What's not mentioned is that these days certain people file complaints against cops all the time, and you need to know what the average is. In his area, the 17 was a little higher than other cops got, but not that much higher.
Right. So in that particular case, you might see there's a culture of abuse and people having an attitude of looking at others as what we say less than. So for you, the bottom line of wearing a uniform and a badge and having this sense of authority, what was the bottom line takeaway for you through this experience?
That we give police officers a lot of power, and when you give people that much power, the right to take your freedom, I mean, this is true for lawyers and judges too, your freedom and your money, you need to keep an eye on them and stop them from abusing that power.
Exactly. No, without a doubt. John, when you say, when people, and I've gotten this as well, where people say, look at Bill, do you understand, the murder rate on black on blacks? I mean, according, again, to Robert Woodson, you've got almost 90, anywhere from 96-99% of murders in America didn't even involve police. That you're looking at maybe 1% of murders involving a police. Most of black murders have been black-on-black crime, black-on-black murders. And this is the preponderance, and all the people we know every week. I mean, it's almost like it reminds me of Vietnam. During the era of Vietnam, you'd always get the body counts and the casualty reports and everything at the end of the week. And here we are now. We've exchanged that for Chicago, and we get body counts from Chicago. And it's just like almost like Vietnam again. It's just, our nerves grow numb, and we just kind of, it's like an Atlas Shrug experience,
And what upsets me is in this group of furious young people, if you say to them, well, the cops have a reason to be more fearful going into a black neighborhood because there is more crime often in a housing project, they don't believe it. I have to push them to the Justice Department statistics. They have been so propagandized that police are wantonly shooting black people that it's hard to have a sensible argument with them.
How do we?
Are not
right. And how do we get to that point? I guess because we have to have that. We have to be able to communicate, John, with them, so that we can solve this problem. Otherwise, I mean, it's kind of like this situation that's going on, which happened in Ferguson, happened in Baltimore, where you get all this hype from the media and all this energy and expression, and then it falls short. And it's almost like, What did the people of Minneapolis want? Did they want the four cops to be sent out into the den of lions and have them murdered right there on the spot, as if that would satisfy them? What is it going to take?
Well, for some of them, probably. I heard that the Minneapolis City Council voted to abolish the police department. Is that true? They don't know what they want. Yeah. And if they get that, my daughter is trying to get me to give money to charities that pay people's probation and lobby to abolish the New York City Police Department. And I'm saying, well, what about crime? And they have a plan that with art therapy and things like that, people won't rob or kill anymore if we give them the proper social services. It's just so naive.
I think maybe down the road that's part of it, but we need something transactional right now. We've got riots in the streets, and
You know, this is where we need, you know, some containment and law and order so that we can have that discussion. Thank you, John.
Thank you, Bill.
Insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the health insurance hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more.
800-610-3630. 800-610-3630. 800-610-3630. That's 800-610-3630. Pay for by Go Health.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
New York City's Democratic Mayor Bill de Blasio making yet more police reform moves. After another day of massive police brutality protests in New York City, most of which did stay peaceful. One of the demands the protesters have been calling for is something that de Blasio is now promising.
We will be moving funding from the NYPD to youth initiatives and social services.
Meanwhile, once a hot spot for the virus, New York City is entering Phase 1 reopening today that could see as many as 400,000 people heading back to their jobs. Former Vice President Joe Biden is gaining steam in the polls. In a new CNN survey out this morning, it shows the presumed Democratic nominee leading President Trump by 14 points. And this is USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Keeping the spirit of Don't Tread on Me alive. Bill Martinez, live.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. Great to have you along with us, and it's great to have Sunil Pajjara with us, President and CEO of the Project Management Institute. And we're going to ask, before we get too far into the background here, Sunil, welcome to the show. Tell us a little bit about the Project Management Institute and what you do.
Yeah, thank you so much for inviting me. So the Project Management Institute is a not-for-profit association. It's headquartered in Philadelphia. We advocate the world of project management, and we try and help all project managers around the world. It's a global organization to be able to provide the right kind of capabilities and skill sets that companies are looking for to turn ideas and plans into reality. So project management skill sets, and we do that through certifications and standards and best practices from around the world.
Wow, that's awesome, because you're networking with all these people of like mind and coming up with innovative ideas and refining old ideas. This is win-win for everybody involved, right?
It is. I mean, we're a 50-year-old organization, and we are agnostic to any specific industry, et cetera. So the kind of things that we get involved in are relevant for any industry, whether you're in technology or whether you're in construction industry, even academia as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's excellent. Well, to state the obvious, COVID-19 has transformed the workplace amidst global macro trends like cybersecurity and climate change. The pandemic forced organizations to rethink the very nature of work. Newly remote teams and rapidly evolving technology have made business agility a must. So how can businesses of all sizes continue to navigate change while still delivering on outcomes on this new norm? And gratefully, we have the likes of Sunil Prashar with his president and CEO, who's going to explain why navigating change in an organization-wide mindset and how employees of all levels are the forefront of these efforts. He's also going to talk about the skills needed for employers and employees to be their organization's change makers, why project management will be key to business recovery and beyond, and how businesses and professionals can improve their business agility to better prepare for the future. And I guess, you know, that's the word, isn't it, for the future of business, and that is agility, right?
It is. It is. I think that, you know, organizations are always striving for the ability to be nimble and fast-moving, et cetera. And that was before COVID because of disruption in the marketplace, new entrants, new competition, et cetera. So organizations are always aspiring to be nimble. But I think with COVID happening, it's been a catalyst for transformation for organizations, a real catalyst. Organizations are moving along the track of transformation, embracing digital capabilities, et cetera, et cetera. Then COVID hits, and then all of a sudden they realize, in order to, you know, they're on their knees and they need to stand back up again. And they know that in the future they're probably working in an environment of constant disruption. So agility is becoming absolutely critical. I like to call it almost gymnastic-like.
Yes, right.
Organizations
exactly.
need to be gymnastic in the way they move beyond agile.
Exactly. What skills are in demand now, and what skills will be most important following this pandemic?
Yeah, so the first thing that we noticed in the pandemic, and I'm sure most of your listeners will have noticed, is that there's been this massive movement to remote working as organizations pivot to a different way of operating. And that requires a whole set of new skill sets as well, both on the management side and also when you're actually doing the work. And what we've seen is that there's going to be a requirement for new skills. How do you manage remote working teams? Now, perhaps, you know, working in different countries even. You know, it's a different way of working. So I think what you're going to see is a mix of both technical skills, which was something that was very important pre-COVID and is even more important, almost table stakes, different type of technologies that people can use and have at their disposal to work better. And then what I like to call the power skills, which are the human skills, the soft, which we used to be traditionally the softer skills, but they're becoming very powerful now. To be able to work effectively, the combination of technical skills and power skills. An example of power skills is like collaborative leadership. Mm-hmm. Our Pulse of the Profession, which is the research that we do within the Project Management Institute, showed that professionals are ranking collaborative leadership as one of the most essential team skills needed right now. Mm-hmm. And that's to allow organizations, managers, to really work in a remote environment where they can tap into the psyche of the individual that they're talking to in a remote way rather than having a command and control style leadership. Mm-hmm. And, of course, creativity.
Yeah.
You know, creativity has always been something that's important, but now I think that organizations are going to create the environment for people to be super creative, you know, effective ideation, prototyping, testing, looking, pivoting fast if things don't work, go in search of this nimbleness and this gymnastic mindset.
Exactly. The demands of the marketplace has altered so quickly, like a tsunami that's come upon all these businesses and these employees. As you see it right now, Sunil, it's got to be exciting because the future for businesses and, you know, for employees is that they're going to realize that they could do so much more. And which is going to draw, you know, their talents. It's going to, you know, draw upon their talents even more so, which is, I think, is going to lead to, you know, a lot of happier people. Because when you are being productive and you discover new things about yourself, you know, that's quite expansive and I think quite positive, don't you?
I do think that, you know, initial impact on projects because of COVID was that projects were put on hold as people tried to figure out around the world, how do we handle this new situation that we're in? And I think that COVID, you know, it crept up on a lot of organizations very, very fast. And there are many other things that were happening in a much slower pace, like, you know, pollution and water levels rising and, you know, population increases, which like, you know, are over a series of years, are they going to manifest themselves? And so people were happy plodding along at their own pace, really, when it came to transformation. And then all of a sudden, COVID hits you, and literally within 2 months, the whole world is in lockdown. Mm-hmm. So the initial impact was the programs and projects and et cetera were put on hold as people tried to recover and understand, okay, what does this mean? And now what you're seeing is a lot of organizations, regardless of industry, they have been impacted significantly financially, even operationally. Look at the, you know, the travel industry, you know, the airline industry, look at the retail, look at tourism. Seriously impacted. And they have to think about how are we going to stand ourselves back up again.
Exactly.
And they'll come with great ideas and they'll come with great plans, but someone has to make those real. Someone has to convert those plans and those ideas and those, you know, perceptions into reality. And that's where project management and the skill sets of project management plays a big part. So you're absolutely correct. I think post-COVID, there's going to be a mass demand uplift in the need for people who can turn ideas into reality. And that's where the Project Management Institute is operating. And with the skill sets that we're trying to advocate and the standards, we should try and enable as many people as possible. So that they become relevant to organizations. Yeah.
Some of those old paradigms will go by the wayside because, you know, as you're telling us, this is a new season for, you know, for flexibility, agility, as you say, gymnastic-like. And I think this is an exciting time for businesses because they're going to reach new levels that they maybe before thought, well, you know, maybe 10 years down the road. But the market demand is such that you're going to have to move a lot faster than 10 years down the road, are you not, right now?
Absolutely. Let me give you an example of just PMI, the Project Management Institute. So we had a roadmap of product releases that were planned over the next 3 years, and what we've done is we've launched them all in the last 3 months,
and
because we just accelerated everything, and they're all digital projects, products that we know that have become super relevant all of a sudden. And you know what are they? You know, we've created on our website an area that people can go to, your listeners can go to. It's called the resources for the new work ecosystem on our website, and there you will find a series, a variety of different free resources that can really help you upskill and build up some of these power skills and also tap into other communities that are suffering from similar issues that you may be having and addressing them in different ways. So you can sort of enable yourself.
Exactly. Sunil Prashara, President and CEO of Project Management Institute. Again, Sunil, real quick here, seconds we have left. Where do they go for more information? The website?
Yeah, so we have a website. That's the best place to go right now. It's PMI.org. Go take a look at that.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront. No hidden costs or fees, and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest
smallest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
Welcome back, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Great to have you along with us as we, we take on the challenges of, this America that we live in. You know, what are we going to do? We're going to defund police. We're going to believe that Black Lives Matter when they've done nothing to stand in the gap and get in between the millions of black babies that have been murdered by way of abortion. Where are they, after every weekend or maybe even during the weekend in Chicago, where you have so many blacks killing other blacks? They don't even involve police. But here we are. We're talking about defunding police, doing these things that, like Trey Gowdy says, this is ludicrous, that we would even contemplate it. But it's okay. I don't have a problem with it. I believe that there's enough reason in our country today, to look at these things and, consider. Adam Holtz, I got to bring you on here right now. Adam Holtz is the director of PluggedIn.com with Focus on the Family. Adam, always appreciate your sober wisdom and perspective on these things that are happening across the country today. And we're going to talk about streaming movies in a moment. But I want you to chime in here, if you would, please, with where we are. I mean, there's a lot of emotion. And I've cautioned people. I said, when you look back, at least in my experience, decades now of experience, is that probably the biggest regrets and problems I've gotten into is when I made choices in the middle of emotions.
Right.
And, this is the warning that we need to be careful of right now. There's a lot of pandering going on right now, people kneeling before blacks asking for forgiveness, and I don't know if there's going to be a shakedown, and maybe if they can't get a government-funded reparations like the owner of BET, the founder of BET, wants $14 trillion of reparations. That, of course, you have to ignore all the other money that has gone for the war on poverty that has helped other blacks, but I don't know how you
you know, you bifurcate that, much less even get people to understand. But in the meanwhile, in lieu of reparations, you know, we want people, including NFL ball players, you know, professionals, athletes, celebrities, to genuflect at the altar of racism and ask for forgiveness.
Yeah, you know, it's such an incredibly complex set of issues, Bill. My small group met last night, and one of our longtime friends is a police sergeant. He's a homicide detective. And, I mean, we spent 3 hours talking about everything that's going on from his perspective as a police officer. And it was pretty incredible and eye-opening, and I'm not going to go into detail, just to get his point of view on things. And I think at the very least, we can say we're mostly getting stuff in the mainstream media from one perspective, right? Mm-hmm. And there, nobody is spending a lot of time talking to police and getting their perspective
right.
on the very, very difficult job that they have been tasked with doing in establishing law and order. And I think what gets lost in this, without in any way trying to rationalize or minimize what has happened in our country with isolated cases of police brutality, which do happen, is we're talking about law and order. And when people break the law, the establishment of law and order is almost by definition a conflict, right?
Exactly.
And we can't get away from that. And I think I want to say two other things related to both the organization I work for, Focused on the Family, and Plugged In. I think that there seems to be this idea that if we just throw enough money at all this stuff, it goes away. But, you know, we've been throwing money at these problems since LBJ in the 60s and the Great Society program, and it's only gotten worse.
Mm-hmm.
Money is not the answer, but the family, I think, is. And, you know, the role of fathers in raising families and raising sons and taking responsibility, it may seem, you know, really old-fashioned and quaint, but you take healthy fathers out of the picture and you have chaos. And so I think if we want to start to really address these issues at the core, we've got to talk about family. We've got to talk about faith. And then I think the other core, you know, the parallel thing I want to talk about is, does all this stuff happen without social media? You know, at Plugged In, we look at the role of media and screens and influence all the time. And I get on Facebook, and it's just this flaming war of vituperation and angry and opinions. We wouldn't talk this way with each other face to face.
Exactly.
We wouldn't. And I think social media is largely, without just writing the whole thing off, I think it's pouring tanker loads of gasoline on this fire in ways that really aren't accomplishing anything.
Yeah, we just have to make sure that policies aren't aren't satisfied, you know, through social media because of anonymity and all these other issues, as you say, because then we go back into the realm of passion and emotions, and we already determined that that's not the best zone to be in, you know, to make policy decisions. It doesn't serve us right.
No.
And going back to what you said earlier with the Great Society plan that LBJ, and we know that LBJ, you know, it takes a little bit of study of what his motivation was all about, and this is one thing that one party does religiously. I mean, the Democrats know how to buy votes. They've brought it to an art form. And all these things, I mean, most of the problems that you have in these cities are democratically controlled. And if that isn't an indictment on their policies and the people who carry the banner for that party, it should be, because they are cremating. I mean, look at Derek Chauvin had been written up, I don't know, 17, 18 times.
18 times, I think.
Okay. And, you know, so here it is. And why is it that he was still on the streets able to do this and ultimately, you know, kill a citizen? And this is all because of, you know, the union, democratic policies, all that sort of thing. And so the net result is, the reaction is, oh, let's defund the police.
all because there's been some bad leadership in these Democratic-run cities. And that seems to be the common denominator time and again, but they don't want to talk about that.
No.
The other thing is, and I thought this was quite telling, I think it was Bob Woodson, an author and documentarian. He's a conservative and a black American, by the way. And he broke it down. I had not heard these figures before, and it really stopped me in my tracks. Because you sit there and you look and you say, okay, we spent somewhere $25, $30 trillion on the war on poverty since 1964. Something like that. Incredible number. And the needle's hardly moved. Hardly moved. The last couple of years it's moved because black unemployment was at an all-time low, and these are, you know, policies and that which, you know, a fresh leader from outside of the traditional political paradigm comes in and goes to black America and say, hey, what do you got to lose? And he starts employing policies that are in their best interest, and he starts raising them up. And, of course, that's driving the Democrats nuts because, as I heard, oh, God, here recently, I don't know, the latest figures is that Donald Trump's, you know, approval rate within black America, somewhere 35-40%. I mean, this is shocking to the Democrats. I mean, they're going absolutely nuts because, you know, as Joe Biden said, hey, man, look at it. If you're black and you don't vote for me, you ain't black. Oh, really? Well, we know what happened there. But anyway, getting back to what Woodson had to say is that of that, you know, almost $30 trillion, 70% of those monies have gone to other blacks administering the war on poverty numbers. So this is what we have in the bureaucracy, where the money never goes to where it's intended. And if blacks should be in an outrage, they should be in an outrage with bureaucrats who have stolen their money for their own aggrandizement. They haven't. It hasn't gone down to the people. I mean, you're talking chump change. So if you want to talk about a systemic problem, you have to start looking at that. And you also have to look at a systemic problem of entitlement within, you know, minority communities. And we'll say also in black communities, anybody that has been drinking the Kool-Aid of entitlement, you have to look and say, you know, again, I think this was Shelby. Shelby Steele from the Hoover Institution, a black American. And I hate that bifurcation, by the way. I hate black American. I hate Mexican American. We're all human beings. We're all Americans here, you know, within this country. But, you know, the vernacular is such that it's better because we add to the tribalism. We add to this division that we have. But he says, and he's the author of Shame, he says, you know, to black Americans, he says, you need to ask the question, are you carrying your weight? What are you doing to advance the cause of your neighbors, of your neighborhood, and your family? Are you carrying your weight? And if you're relying on entitlement programs, let me tell you, you're not carrying your weight.
Yeah. No, that's exactly right. And again, I think it's funny how we want to, and we, meaning, you know, the mainstream media and the left, want to boil this down into grossly oversimplified terms, right? You know, and
but where just, they go? What's the end game for them, though?
Well, the end game is always power, Bill. Right?
Yeah. Well, it's dismantling. It's the dismantling of the status quo, and there is a very aggressive movement with Antifa. Also, Black Lives Matter. Oh, by the way, and you need to wise up and understand. They want to dismantle this great American experiment. That's the bottom line.
Yep, I agree with you, Bill.
Well, with all that, you can go to PluggedIn.com and see the reviews for yourself of what's streaming this week. Some good stuff. We got about 10 seconds. What do you say?
The Healer, Shirley, on the movie categories. And over on TV, we've got a whole bunch of stuff that is hot on TV. We've got the fourth season of 13 Reasons Why.
Check it out.
Attention, gardeners. If you need to grow nutritionally dense vegetables or medicinal herbs this year, listen, because a bioactive superfood for plants is now available. This all-natural superfood for plants is so effective at producing maximum plant growth in minimum time that it almost forces plants to grow even under the worst light and soil conditions. It's called ProtoGrow, and it's truly remarkable. Vegetables grow faster and contain more
more bioavailable vitamins and trace minerals. Plants that rarely bloom will flower constantly. Sickly plants become vibrantly alive. Medicinal herbs become super potent. Flowers become more vivid right before your very eyes. ProtoGrow also improves the taste quality of all your garden vegetables. That's because it's more than just an all-natural superfood for plants. It's a proprietary blend of bioactive sea nutrients that contain the basic building blocks of life itself, which is why ProtoGrow even renews your garden by increasing the microorganisms in the soil. Learn more at growlikecrazy.com. That's growlikecrazy.com. Get special pricing for network listeners right now at growlikecrazy.com. Frustrated?